The end of verse 3, Paul refers to fellow laborers whose names are in the book of life. And then immediately he says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say, rejoice. Here is Thanksgiving's foundational theme. There is life in the atmosphere of praise. He gives an exhortation to the Philippians to rejoice in the Lord always. And it seems that that is all that would need to be said, but the Holy Spirit does not leave it there. In what is really more of a Hebraistic structure, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice. The Hebrews were very fond of this kind of parallelism. And the Holy Ghost uses it a lot in the Scriptures. And I think it's really a concession to our own frailty because we don't pick up on things very readily. We don't get it as soon as we should. So here it comes again. Rejoice in the Lord always. But the difficulty of the exhortation to rejoice requires that it be repeated. If it were easy to follow the exhortation to rejoice in the Lord always, Paul could have gone right on to something else. Well, that's done. I'm sure they'll take care of it. But here is an underscoring of how difficult it is to rejoice. When I was at the visitation on Friday evening, it was something to see the video presentation of Reverend Lee's life and to learn that his father was a preacher as well. In Korea. David was born at the very outset of the Korean War, actually just within a very short time of the onset of the Korean War, he was born. And there was a picture of him when he was maybe 1 or 2 years old, walking down the street with his father holding him by the hand. This would have been during the Korean War while it was still going on. And to look at that made you reflect on the fact that he grew up in times when no doubt it was hard for his father to heed such an exhortation, to rejoice. They were living in the midst of war. And yet, what Paul is underscoring here is that this is the atmosphere in which believers are to live. The atmosphere of praise. The atmosphere of rejoicing. I preached earlier this year on the text in 1 Thessalonians 5, rejoice evermore. And John Adams, in his last years, that text meant so much to him. Rejoice evermore, though there were trials on every hand. Yet the exhortation to rejoice evermore, here's life in the atmosphere of praise. Here's why we have Thanksgiving Day. Is it to suggest that we just forget about all the troubles? No. Paul never forgot about all the troubles. He provided catalogs of them so that those who read his letters wouldn't forget. We don't forget about all the troubles, but here is the word that he had for them. Rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord. And here is the tie-in to what our sister was saying earlier. We rejoice in him. You know, it's so frustrating this time of year to listen to people, what I call going through the secularistic rituals of Thanksgiving. You know, they have Thanksgiving, so there's some awareness that they need to express Thanksgiving, though they find it difficult to do, so they say that they're thankful for things, but you never really know exactly what those things are, and you never hear to whom they are thankful. Sometimes you think they're thankful to the ether for doing something. Paul was saying, you rejoice in the Lord. There's the focus of our thanksgiving. We rejoice in Christ. So there's life in the atmosphere of praise. And then also, we observe in the context that there's praying from a heart of gratitude. Notice what he says in verse 6. Be careful for nothing. Be anxious for nothing. Be fretful for nothing. Well, you don't understand. I mean, that's just the way I am. That's just my nature to be that way. I can't help it. But Paul says, be careful for nothing. It's in the language of command. But how can you do it? Well, he says, in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. I don't know, was this the text that you preached on this morning? Well, I don't want to get around that text, but with thanksgiving, he says, you come to pray with thanksgiving. That is, we come with our petitions to God, and what do they display? They display the reality of trouble. There's a family tonight with whom I had contact these last few days. They're in mourning. Four children, grandchildren, siblings, a wife, they're in mourning. And you come to God with the petition for them because there's trouble there. But you do that with thanksgiving, as they do. Their testimony was they were full of thanksgiving to God for taking their loved one into the Father's house, into the immediate presence of Christ, so that we come with thanksgiving not only for our blessings, but for our trials. And I submit to you, as Paul would say to the Philippians, this is the harder part of the subject, to be thankful when we come to pray. Because there are many burdens for prayer. Family members who are seriously ill, who are facing death. It's hard for us to enter into the atmosphere of praise when we have such burdens upon us. But Paul says, this is what we do if we give thanks. We pray from a heart of gratitude. And then the third thing I would mention is that there is the cause for gratitude. We find at the end of verse 3. He's speaking about those who have labored with him in the ministry of the gospel, whether they have been preachers or whether, like the women that he mentions in verse 3, have simply helped in ways that he doesn't enumerate, but no doubt in ways that were of a practical benefit to Paul and to those who are traveling with him. But he speaks about these fellow laborers. And what does he say about them? Their names are in the book of life. All their names in the book of life. Remember what Jesus said to the disciples? Don't rejoice because you have the ability to command demons to depart and they depart. Because they said, well, this is a wonderful thing. This is great that we can do that. Even the demons are subject to us through your name. He said, don't rejoice in that. Here's what you rejoice in. That your names are written in the book of life. Here it is again. Their names are in the book of life. There is the foundational theme for Thanksgiving, that your name, that you maybe write in some form every day, that name, known to God from long before you were ever known, that name is written in the book of life. We were at the cemetery yesterday, and it's a memorial park, so all the stones are flat, and obviously you can't avoid, when there's a burial going on, you can't avoid standing on other graves. And especially with the size of the group that was there yesterday afternoon as the sun was going down. And I was speaking to one of the elders from our congregation at Faith FPC. He and his wife were there. We were kind of standing by ourselves after the service at the grave was ended. And as preparations were being made to lower the casket into the ground. And he was saying to me, here we are, we're standing right on the evidence that death is a present reality. The people's bodies under our feet. And I said, that's true, and there's one other profound thought. And it came to me recently when I was at my parents' grave in Arlington National Cemetery, in the area where my mother and father are buried. The graves there are more recent. The families of those people buried there still around. And so you could see here and there family members visiting graves, putting flowers and whatever on them. But I looked up the hill into the older parts of the cemetery, where there are graves as far as the eye can see. In those areas, you saw no one. You know why? Because all those who knew those people are also gone. And I reflected upon that. How quickly our influence, our name even, is erased from the memory of the world. Unless we've taken steps to become notorious in a particular way, or unless we have sought after the fleeting fame of celebrity. But how quickly? Most people, their names they're just erased. It's like they were not there at all. But among those people buried in those graves are some whose names are written in the book of life. And though the world never knew them, though the world is forgotten, though all who knew them have perished and have been erased, their names are written in the book of life. Let that be cause for you to give thanks to God. As the Lord tarries, there will come a day when David Lee's grave will just be another grave, like so many are there in that place where we were yesterday. And those who knew him will also be gone. And how quickly it happened. But if your name is written in the book of life, it won't matter, because God's record is always there. So Paul could say, that is the cause to rejoice. Your name is written in the book of life. May God make that your theme as we come to this observance of Thanksgiving in this year. Let me say, I wish for each of you the blessing of God in this Thanksgiving season, that you will know in your homes, in your families, the presence of God with you, and that you will know the reality of that statement on which we've been meditating, that your name is written in the book of life. Think of all the troubles that fade away when you come to think on that, but my name is written where it can never be erased. So may God bless you all during this Thanksgiving season.